Miss that.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Hopefully that works okay. I just, as you were talking about open the book, I mentioned it before, but you know, when we moved down here nearly five years ago, little Joseph at the time, who was only four, and his second week at school, came running into me, into my home office, and said, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, they know Jesus." You know, and it was like, goodness, that's the impact that reach can have. Okay, you know, Joseph, for him, it was like, you know, it was all new. You know, everything was new. We didn't know anybody in the village. It was, you know, but you know what? There was, the school knew Jesus, you know, and that was, you know, Keith, obviously, that doing that. And I just pray, and I just, in total agreement that, you know, it may seem that the, you know, age is a factor or limited resource or day of the week, but let's just trust that the Lord, that the head teacher, Miss Halling, will, whatever's right, whatever day's right, will be right. And let's put it totally in the Lord's hands. Let's make a choice to hand this to Him, because the more we cling onto it, the more we look at ourselves and our own ability and our own limitations, then we're taking that on ourselves. We say, Lord, you know what? I can't do this. We can't do this. But Lord, we pray that that right time, that allocated time will be there, and the right resource, the right people, the right words that come out of the mouth of the people that are there, they're empowered to do it in your strength and not in our own strength. And the results will be His results, as opposed to something that's just a good thing to do. It'll be a God thing to do. And so let's just agree and thank the Lord for that. And you know, your obedience to follow that. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to stand here this morning. I know that it's your will be done this morning. I pray that in any way at all, that I can just take myself away from this, Father. You've shown me this message over the last 4-6 weeks, and I just thank you that. Your words, even on the paper that I've written down, Father, that you still will just direct me and show me. I humbly come before you this morning and thank you for that. In Jesus' name. So, Hebrews 4:16 tells us to boldly approach the throne of God. Boldly approach the throne of God. And that's been something that I've been pondering about, this boldness that potentially we can have. And how on earth can we have boldness? I've done an awful lot of understanding of respect of historic Jewish practices and how, you know, the throne of God and things that took place even just by, you know, carrying the ark and things, and people tried to stop it from falling over and drop down and stand this holy of holy place that we talk about, yet we're told to boldly approach it. And when I analyse my week, my days, my months, whatever it is, my years sometimes, I think, goodness me, how could I be bold, you know, based upon what I didn't do, what I did do, and all these things spring out. And even sometimes when I feel like I've had a super day, and you know, I've had time for communion in the morning, I've prayed with the kids before they went to school, and you know, I'm feeling it. The reality is, something then happens. I jump in the car, I get cut up and get cross and angry, and then all of a sudden my dynamics change. Or I'm even at church and I'm preaching at church and it's all good, and we get home and I realise that my wife's left the hot tap running all morning. You know, something like that's going to suddenly change my view and my opinion of how I act and how I am. You know, and it is something she does do, by the way. So I just want a quick run back and have a little look about ancient Israel as a starting point. So an understanding of how things would happen, and it was reliant on a high priest in Israel. And the most important duty was for the high priest was conducted on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, which basically a, a, only he was allowed to enter the most holy place, behind the veil, and stand before God, having made a sacrifice for both himself and for everybody else as well. He then brought the blood into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled it on the seat of God's throne. And that's coming from Leviticus 16. Hebrews 5:1 also tells us a little bit more. So if we go into Hebrews 5:1, for every high priest chosen from among men, appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins, he can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice of his own sins, just as he does for those of other people. So, the definitive point of a high priest is for the people to God. So, for the people to God. The reverse, or the consideration from that, and sometimes used, is the prophet, which is more for God to the people. And it's this way around. It's really important, because their entire standing in those days in ancient Israel was based upon their high priest. If they had a good high priest, the people were blessed. If they had a bad high priest, the people were rejected. And it was critical, and it was a point where everything was around that high priest. And yeah, I mean, imagine that in today's, you know, if we were reliant on some of the leaders, for example, whether or not we were blessed as people, you know, someone like Boris Johnson, if our trust was in him, you know. And the only bad thing, of course, about a good high priest in them days was that at some point that high priest would die. He'd move on and we'd have a new high priest. And there'd be a new position. And there'd be another reason to be stressed and be worried about whether or not their performance was good enough. You see, the thing is, for as good as we think we might be, there's always another sin. And the sin is one sin too many. One sin too many is always just defined as not pure and not able to go before the throne of God. Even when we've ticked all the boxes, all the ducks are in line, and we've got everything that we believe that's right, arrogance is then something that's defined, that kicks in. So whichever way you look, it's a sin. We can't get away from this factor. And there was what the high priest in them days had to wear, and even just one of the factors here was the golden crown going around the top of his head. This here area was there just to deal with this arrogance, the basically on the people that have believed that they've achieved, and it was defined as sin. It says in Exodus 28, you shall make a plate pure of gold engraved on it, like the engraving of a signet, holy to the Lord, and you shall fasten it on the turban by a cord of blue. It shall be on the front of the turban. It shall be on Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall bear any guilt from the holy things of the people of Israel consecrate as their holy gifts. So it's consecrating the gifts that they're giving. It shall be regularly on the forehead, and they'll be accepted before the Lord. This process is just incredible. It allowed no area for sin whatsoever. They had to cover it in every way possible. How many of you know that even at our very best, we always fall short? Paul knew this. Paul claimed in his own right that I was the chief of sinners. That was his position that he realized. And in Romans 3:10, we read that it says, as the scripture says, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. And then it goes on to verse 13. Obviously, the law applies to those whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right by God, but made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law is simply there to show how sinful we all are. But now, God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writing of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Verse 23.
For everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Which is true, it's so true. Everybody has. We cannot achieve God's standard. Everybody by default has fallen short. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in past times. For he was looking ahead to include them in what would be done in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. So it's through faith, and this is our confession. Even though I can't see it, even though I can't feel it, I believe it. I can be bold. I can go forward. Not because of me, but because of him. The never changing, always true sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews it says, he was our glorious, gracious high priest. He is our great high priest. That's right. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, we haven't just got a high priest. We haven't just got a human that has done good and put the sacrifices down and gone through that process. Someone who will have to die at an end, will have to find someone else. We've got Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has gone before us. Jesus Christ has become our great high priest. And that's where this boldness comes from. That's where each day I have to look and remind myself, thank you Jesus for what you have done. Thank you Jesus that you have gone before me, that you have made me right before Father God. This gives me that confidence and that boldness every day, knowing that that will never ever change. I asked a Christian once, an elderly gentleman some years back, and I said to him, I said, how do you think God sees you today? And he went very quiet, and they had a tough life and some tough challenges of late, and we were deep in conversation, and his eyes kind of welled up and paused for some time, and then gave me an answer that started to reel off flaws. Inconsistencies, he said, or I'm not, don't make decisions. I don't do this quick enough. And I think he would say that I'm not bold enough. And I was like, whoa, man, it really hurt me. And I didn't know how to respond at the time. And I prayed about it. And I just, Lord, it's not, that isn't right. It might be how man sees it. It might be how he sees it. But Father God doesn't see him that way. This guy, you know, he's lived his life for Jesus. He's seen some wonderful things, you know, and yet he got to the point in his life where he couldn't believe that his Father could see him through the blood, through the light of Jesus Christ, and as a result, not be able to receive the love that Father God has for him. And I felt such a pity for him, because if we really were that way before Father God, we couldn't stand with boldness. We can't stand with boldness if we're reliant on our own performance and our own abilities and our own strengths. We can't do it. And on the flip side, what does it mean when I say I can go bold? I can stand bold before Father God with a reverential fear of knowing that this is what we had to be done in the past. I don't go there passively and say, ah, yeah, now I can, so now I will. I go there with, thank you, Jesus. I am totally reliant on what you've done on that cross for me today. I'm totally reliant. I cannot do this without you. It's a reverential fear and respect for what Jesus has done that gives me that, but says at the same time, I am going to access it. I am going to walk into it. I'm not just going to allow Jesus to do this for me and me be like, well, should I not? I've got to take it and I've got to go, no, do you know what? I'm claiming my healing. I'm claiming my wholeness. I'm claiming my health. I'm claiming everything that the Bible and the promises of Abraham are there for me. I'm taking it for me today. And I thank you, Jesus, that you have done this for me. So, the sin aspect comes in on Romans 5:12, where Adam and sin, Adam's sin and Christ contrasted. I'm just going to quickly read from verse 18, actually. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many will be sinners. But because one person obeyed God, many are made righteous. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That one act of Adam brought sin into the world. The world sin. The world aren't sinners because they sin. The world are sinners because of Adam's sin. And because of Adam's sin, they sin. We are not righteous because of our obedience. We are obedient because of his righteousness and his obedience. We stand in a position where we're encapsulated by what Jesus has done. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, it doesn't mean that sin isn't around and it can't affect, and what decisions we make don't change those dynamics. If I rob a bank, I go to prison. Not saying that. But it can't change my standing now. I'm in a position of righteousness before Father God. Just like before when I was outside, there's no good work that I could do to enter the Holy of Holies. In any way at all, the world are encapsulated by Adam's sin. Yet, by one man's obedience, thank you Jesus for that. One man, Jesus, many, many will be made righteous. Thank you, Father. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The devil has a role to play in a Christian's life. All he wants us to do, because we know he exists, and we know that part of the devil's tactic in the world is to try to believe, make people believe he doesn't. But we make a decision as Christians, and we know the devil's role. We know how he manipulates, how he tries to operate in this world. But how he tries to operate with us and Christians is he wants us to become introspective. He wants us to become focused on what we do, what we don't do. For example, I could read for half an hour in the morning and I could feel good about that. The devil will be quite happy to remind me that someone else reads for 3 hours. I might give a certain amount of money. The devil would want me to know that, well, you know, it's not quite enough because you've... And they'll never, ever be enough. There'll always be that point where you're chasing yourself because you're introspective. You're looking at what you're doing. And what Christ wants us to do is become Christ-centric. Looking at him. Point to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because Jesus, for me, I was always at a point where I wanted to be a giver. Jesus, my God is, for God so loved the world that he gave. And I want to give and I want to bless of my time and anything else. And at times I've challenged myself and I thought, got to do this, got to do this, got to do this, got to do this. And I end up in this circle area. Well, I was last year was more, or he did this, or he did the other and didn't do this. And goodness me, it just ends up in this vicious cycle where you're all about yourself and about what you can do. Yet, if we focus on Jesus and what he's done, the fruit of that is the fruit of giving, the fruit of love, I give more now because of my how I perceive what I'm doing. I say, Father God, thank you that I am a giver. I thank you, Lord, that I can love the unlovable and I can forgive the unforgivable. I thank you, Lord, that you love me so much that I receive that and that that's what I am. And even when I don't see it, I choose that that's where I am. It's the same with healing and health. It's the same on that perspective. You know what? We live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. The righteous don't live by what they see and what they feel. The righteous will live by faith. And we have to make that stand. As Christians, we have to make that stand. Even right now, this morning, it's a choice. It's an absolute choice. It's a continual choice, I agree, but it is a choice. It's a choice to say, I take that. Thank you, Father, this morning. For everybody that's sitting here, I thank you, Lord, that you love them so, so dearly. And I thank you that we all have roles to play in this world that we live in, these end days that we stand before now, Lord. Each one of us have got a part to play. And I thank you, Lord, that we can just humbly come towards you this morning and say, Father, your will be done in each one of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we don't look to our own inabilities, our own frailties, our own disappointments, our own historic things that didn't work, things that we should have done that we didn't do. Father, right now, today is that fresh day. And Lord, I thank you that we have a great high priest that stands before us right now. Thank you for that great high priest. That great high priest is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. And we put our faith and our trust in him and in him alone. And thank you that we can boldly approach the throne of God because of that. We can boldly claim these Ukrainians that are going to be coming into this village in this next week or so. We thank you, Lord, that we can have such an impact in their lives and maybe even receive from them. But Lord, we thank you that you can, they haven't been brought here just for a settlement of life, although that's a good thing. But Lord, I thank you that we can break it and break into that family, that coming into this church, seeing the words that are written across the back of this wall, Lord, that can impact their lives and their broader families and friends. Thank you, Lord, I pray. So, thank you. I've gone on time now, but I just pray that there's something you get from that this morning. And I know there's lots of scripture there, and I know it's mixed on that front, but I really have been on this journey, and I really believe that that's what the Lord wanted to show. I had something else planned, I've got to be honest, something else was being said, but I really felt an onus to talk on this morning. I just pray that boldness will rise up and we understand where that boldness is from. It isn't from our own strength. It isn't. And back to this point in terms of going into the school, you know, I just pray that we can come from that perspective and really know that it's the Lord that's driving this. It's in his strength. And let's be reliant and solely reliant on him. Thank you, Lord. Amen.